The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information. Welcome to this week's Movies You Should See. This week, we're reviewing RoboCop, directed by Paul Verhoeven, starring Peter Weller, later to be replaced in life by Ed Harris. But he's back again now, and Ed Harris has disappeared.
They're never in the same place at the same time.
You've never seen them in the same place at the same time, right? Peter Weller, RoboCop, very famous. Where did his career go? And suddenly just disappeared. And we had Ed Harris, who is exactly like Peter Weller, but in the bizarro world. And then now Ed Harris has disappeared. I've not seen him in anything for ages.
And who appears in 24?
Peter Weller's in 24 again, back in the public eye.
Yeah.
They're taking turns at existing.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
I'm Mike Dawson.
I'm Alison Downing.
I'm Craig. I'm you're Richard Smith.
I'm Craig Bevan.
We haven't done that in a while.
RoboCop.
Now, I watched this film for the very first time today.
Which I cannot believe.
I cannot believe.
That in your 26, is it?
27.
27 years on this planet, you have not... Okay, granted, it wasn't around for the first 10 of them. But you have not watched this film.
Have you been hanging around the rock, Wi-Fi rock?
Well, let me explain. When this film came out, it was obviously a gory 18 certificate film.
Yeah.
And I was, how old, I can't remember how old I was. Or how old, when did it come out?
87.
So I'd have been 8. Right. So I wasn't allowed to see RoboCop.
You weren't allowed to see RoboCop until you were 18.
No, not, yeah, pretty much.
Well, that was the one and then, in your house, wasn't it?
By the time I was 18, I didn't care.
Okay. There were,
I'd rather have watched more current 18 films and stuff like that. Plus, when I became 18, you didn't just buy a film on DVD and get it, because you couldn't do that then.
Well, DVDs weren't around then.
So I never got around to watching it. I didn't care and never wanted to, and I've only watched it today because you wanted to do it on this show.
Is your life better?
Yeah.
Good.
Quite genuinely, I fucking loved it. From start to finish, I put it on and thought, oh, because I had to tidy this house because I knew you two were coming over. And you're looking at the clock and you think, well, I'll give myself 15 minutes and then I have to get up and start tidying because that'll take this long and then I have to set off. And then an hour and a half past the time I said I'd get up, I was pressing play again, which is why I was very late to come and pick you up.
Yeah.
So I got the special edition DVD for only $5.99, bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the director's cut, fucking awesome. Don't know, I tried to watch the proper cut again to see what was different, but
this is a genuine director's cuts, that's just a slight tangent here. Director's cuts, generally, they fall into one of two categories for me. Well, maybe three. One where you have the director putting in scenes that he took out because the original cut was actually the director's cut, but the producers in a schneidy way have decided to resell the product as director's cut, quote unquote, and all they've done is marketing trick. They bunged in a few deleted scenes that had no particular relevance, didn't need to be in the film, and in fact just clunk up the pace.
Yeah,
and
Donnie Darko
is a prime example of that. Don't bother with the director's cut.
No, Empire slated it, didn't they?
We slated
it. It's just pointless.
There's nothing in there which needed to be in there. There was nothing wrong with the original cut. I'm trying to think of other examples of it. Terminator 2, the special edition, didn't really need all
what
the
was
extra
different
stuff
on that one.
There was loads of extra scenes in that, but none of them. All it did, it just slowed the pace of the film down. It made it like 2.5 hours long, and you just like by the end of it, you're just like, for fuck's sake. Kill Robert Patrick, whatever his name is. But yeah, or you have the ones where the director has been censored or overruled by the producers in some capacity.
Lord of the Rings, for example.
Lord of the Rings, various others I could go on. But yeah, and they've had the opportunity on DVD or on video to re-release it. Blade Runner is the most famous example of that.
Yeah.
And this definitely fits into the latter of the two. It's the director's cut only adds in about a minute or two of overall footage back into the film, and it is just pure gore, but you just need it. It's good gore.
I haven't seen this. I'm going to have to watch it.
Like Die Hard, do not ever watch this film on ITV.
Don't do it.
There is a scene where there is a guy holding up a little mini market mall thingy shop.
Quickie Mart
type thing, yeah. Appears behind the counter and he's very scared. This guy's shooting at RoboCop and he's saying, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, as he's shooting, and the bullets are just rebounding off RoboCop. In the ITV version, it's, why me? Why me? Why me?
But even better than that is one scene where the boss of the company, the evil boss, we'll get into the plotline in a minute,
but
there's an evil boss basically, and he's in the toilets and he overhears somebody else insulting him, and he comes out and he tells him a story about how he used to insult his boss when he was a young man as well, and even went so far on the ITV version of calling his old boss Airhead.
No, the original cut not is Airhead. Asshole, isn't it?
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah.
No. Airhead. In the ITV cut. And then, it's
but the
arsehole.
Thing is as well, the
what
one
the hell is wrong with arsehole?
See, the thing is, he says three things, doesn't he?
Depends what you're into, Mike.
Arseholes or airheads? I don't know.
I know which I prefer.
But he says three insults, doesn't he? Like the second one, something like, and I called him a prick once, and then I even called him Airhead. It's like, oh right,
pricks were
exactly.
Air.
That's the point.
Exactly.
But the
they did it at the end of the Back to the Future as well. It's like, what, have we become assholes or something?
Now then, actually, having watched that again recently for one reason or another, I discovered that they actually shot two versions of the last scene.
Did they?
Right, it wasn't censored by ITV. They made a TV-friendly ending.
So it wasn't overdubbed.
Not overdubbed. He actually says jerks.
Yeah, all right. I never went on the jerks thing. I never went on the overdub thing, but yeah.
Pardon? Assholes.
Assholes. Right. And they do jerks instead on TV.
Right. Assholes is apparently a really bad thing to say on television.
What? God, it's common vernacular in London. Everybody's a fucking arsehole.
Yeah.
Well.
Seems bizarre.
Anyway, let's say for the people like Richard under the rock with the Wi-Fi, the plot line of RoboCop. Basically, it's set in the near future in Detroit, or what now is known as Delta City and Old Detroit. Mm. And the
crime rate's off the scale.
There's, you know,
what scale do you measure crime on?
Well, it's
the crime scale.
Yeah, the crime scale.
Yeah.
What units is that measured in?
It's measured in
crimes.
Yeah,
cubits. per square pound.
Cubic millimetres per square pound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your average crime monitor.
Yeah, basically. Each cubit represents a... I can't even be asked.
A crime. But...
It's like the Geiger scale, only slightly more convoluted.
If anyone who doesn't come from the UK ever hears anyone from the UK bragging about the quality of our education system, just remind yourself that Craig Bevan and Michael Dawson both have a degree. Right?
Therefore, we are able to make up crime schemes.
And so does Alison. And they come out with crap like this.
It's because we've developed our wit and intelligence over the years.
And yes. Abandoned it.
Yeah. Mm.
Used it all up, whatever.
It was finally tuned to the point where you couldn't really get more funny. So then we just thought, well, fuck it, should we start again? And like had parts of our brains removed. Yeah.
So I'm sat here with a few 7-year-olds.
Basically, we've all had lobotomy. We got too smart, so we all had lobotomies.
Take it out.
Get it out of there. I don't want to be this funny.
Stuff up.
Ignorance is bliss. I'm sat here with 3 happy motherfuckers.
So yeah, crime's off the scale.
You see how that film today has affected my language.
That film.
RoboCop. Well, I just called you 3 happy motherfuckers.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah.
When did I ever call anyone a motherfucker?
Like a duck of you.
I know.
My mum likes you.
Crime scale. It's off. It's off the crime scale. And shuffing. Hell, people are getting shot. Police are.
I even called him shuffing airhead.
And shuffing airhead. It's a right good laugh. So it's off the scale.
As a lot of future
it's
films.
It's off the fucking scale, man. It's going to hell. And,
So the machine that measures it blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They couldn't even measure it
anymore.
They
couldn't count that high.
They couldn't count too many cubits.
Too many. Yeah. Too many. So...
So they fit them all on the scale.
The police are going on strike, or are thinking about going on strike.
And it's violent out there.
Hey,
it's violent.
It's violent. It's very violent. They need a new sort of law enforcement. And OCP, Omi Consumer Products,
Omni Consumer Products,
who have bought the police. The police are actually privatized.
I love the name of that company. What do you do? We make products for the consumer.
Yes.
Do you really?
Omni,
no shit. Every product for the consumer.
Yep.
Shoes, underpants, biscuits, you name it.
RoboCop.
It's like Amway for the future.
Yeah.
And they're developing a crime-fighting robot who will go out and police the streets, never gets tired, never runs out of firepower, allegedly.
Doesn't sit in donut shops. And
exactly.
Doesn't
pull me over because they think I'm going to accelerate.
It's a big scary fucker called Ed 209. Unfortunately, it has a few glitches in one hilariously black scene. They first demonstrate Ed 209 and one of its so-called glitches. And
the remote stops working.
They give a gun to somebody to demonstrate its arresting powers, and instead of arresting him, it blows him to shreds.
I thought it was hilarious that this machine that could go for 24 hours a day and never needed rest needed a bloke to work the remote.
Yeah. And to be honest, I saw this when it first came out, and I thought it was amazing at the time, but I've just watched it again tonight, and it looks like it was made on Blue Peter.
The stop motion is funny.
Yeah, it looks shit. Funny. It looks like it's made out of egg boxes and yogurt pots. It's shit.
I remember that week when Peter Duncan and Sarah Green showed you how to make a squib and make it look like you've shot someone a lot. That was brilliant. with washing up bottles and sticky back plastic.
Yeah, and bits from milk bottle. Yeah. It was crap.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
It's the moment that it comes in the room. It's it walking.
Yeah.
When it stays still and then only goes up and down as it's moving.
Oh, that's wicked.
That's amazing. But in motion, it actually walking.
It looks awful.
Pants.
It looks awful. But yeah, so it blows the hell out of this guy. And like literally every single possible point where he could have been shot on his body gets shot.
And then they call the paramedics.
Somebody call the paramedics, yeah.
Because he might be all right.
Yeah.
There's bits of him on the wall, but he might be fine. He's not fine.
Well, that might lead us to something else.
And that, that was another bit that annoyed me.
And the best bit of this scene is that obviously the guy who's pioneered this program, who's Dick Jones.
Dickie boy.
It comes over to his big boss, and the big boss says, "Dick, I'm very disappointed." That's it. So one of your employees just got shot 500 times.
In front of your face.
I'm very disappointed.
Sack him, suspend him, or anything like that.
The machine doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's not in any way touched by what's just happened to that poor guy.
He's just like, it's just a glitch.
So this is the society that this is based in, where human life is kind of forfeit and not very, is very expendable.
Now, the guy who's running the Ed 209 program is, what's his name from Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah, Randy.
Inspector, he's the guy who gets shot in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
That guy.
Whose name escapes us, even his character name.
Randy Quaid? No, not Randy Quaid.
That's the guy in Independence Day.
I can't remember what his name is.
And the other thing.
He's been in loads of things, though. He's a veteran. He's been in a lot.
Especially in the 80s.
Yes.
Big in the 80s films.
So they need a backup plan because this has had a glitch and the boss is very disappointed in it.
And you can't have that walking the streets of old Detroit.
No, really.
No, you can't. So Bob Mortimer comes up with a plan to make RoboCop. But what they need is an actual human brain, don't they? Is that right?
Yeah, they need it's a backup unit, but they need a near death host it's a cyborg. It's a cyborg, so they need the human organs.
They need the brain.
They need the chin.
And the rest they don't need. Just the brain and the
massive
chin.
Forehead.
Yeah.
It's a huge forehead.
It is.
Colossal forehead.
So, Mike, if you ever get hurt, really, you know.
Yeah, it's all right. I've got big chins to fall back on and various others.
You could play RoboCop quite well.
Oh, really?
I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I think that you'd be good as RoboCop.
And what is an emotionless cyborg?
Yeah.
I could see you eating baby food.
Yeah, I think so.
In fact, if anyone would like to see Mike eating baby food, send us an email.
And it won't happen.
It's probably nice. Rusks I'm sure it's nice. Got to be nice. Rusks rusks. Yeah.
Them chocolate things, they're good. I wouldn't feed them to a baby. But I might eat them myself, slyly, when no one's looking.
Here comes the train. It's been redirected.
You're going hungry tonight. This stuff's too good for you.
I give them proper food and eat that.
Beats flying.
So Mr. Murphy, or Officer Murphy, who's on the street, and in the middle of an arrest, he's chasing this gang.
Well, it's his first day out.
His first day out.
In Detroit, Delta City, Detroit.
So. Yeah, in the hard precinct. And he ends up also getting the absolute living shit shot out of him by about five guys.
I couldn't believe that. That was just nuts. Because he was shot so much. Just so much. I mean, it was silly.
Well,
and then he's not dead.
Paul Van Hoven's premise of that was the idea, because he almost worked on a whole Jesus metaphor for this film.
I was reading on IMDb earlier,
like when he walks on water at the end of the film and everything, and he says that you can't have Christ without the crucifixion. So that was his crucifixion, basically, and he wanted to make it as bloody and horrible as possible, and he did.
He did.
Well, so he definitely did in the director's cut.
Yeah. They shoot various bits off his body.
Yeah.
And then shoot him a lot.
Yeah.
He's not dead, so they shoot him again through the head.
So Peter Weller, as Jesus, gets shot to shit, dies.
And is reborn.
And then he's reborn as RoboCop.
And he doesn't die. They shoot his head. Well, that's it. If they want the brain, why do they pick somebody who's been shot in the head?
Maybe it bounced off his skull.
You see the back of his head fly off.
Maybe they did.
You really do. I watched it.
He was too intelligent. He needed that bit of his brain taken out anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needed the temporal
lobes.
He'd
done a degree.
Yeah.
Just the front
to get a bit less smart.
Not really. It's a new in thing with all the really cool, intelligent people.
I mean, he does get to become a robot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And hard
he doesn't
fuck.
Seem happy about it, though, I'll tell you that much.
No.
Well, I don't think he's programmed with joy, to be honest.
That's a shame.
He's given four directives, isn't he?
Four. Only four.
Imagine I wonder if they put solitaire on there as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Tetris, but he was getting a bit distracted.
No, it'd be sort of Pong, wouldn't it?
They'd be talking to him and he'd just sort of drift off.
And then Robocop,
wait, sorry, I was trying to get the square one in.
Sorry. Sorry, new high score.
If there's a calculator on it, he won't use it. Calculators are
obviously. He'd have widgets. He could just fly in, he could get his stock prices and little translator thing that would fly out again. It'd be awesome.
So obviously Robocop now has to avenge himself upon the people who have done this to him in the first place. Well, not necessarily straight away.
But first he's a robot, but then...
Yeah, but then slowly the memories emerge.
Yes.
Well, he starts dreaming, doesn't he?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
He has a shaky dream.
As inevitably do. And that's basically the plot line. And the rest of it follows suit, as you'd imagine.
You know how it's going to end once you've seen the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing...
It's all about how it's going to end.
It's all about the journey.
The journey. We know where we're going.
Yeah.
But so, it was truly awesome. Truly awesome.
Let's talk about the history of this film and like in terms of its place in 80s cinema. Ooh. Because it comes after another famous cyborg film in the early 80s called The Terminator.
What's funny.
Yeah, there's one funny thing. If you have the DVD, watch one. I can't remember which one it is, but there's one of the original trailers. Which uses the Terminator theme music
for the trailer. Really?
Yeah. Now, obviously, because it's 1987 and it's like before Terminator 2 came out, which is what really made that music iconic.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, they used it thinking, oh, it's another robot film, let's use the same music. And it's just really, really funny to watch it. It probably wasn't back then, but it's hilarious.
Am I right in thinking that the plot of RoboCop 2 is similar to the plot of Terminator 2 in that the fact that they're both robots looking after a child?
No, you're incorrect there.
Right. I don't actually know the plot of RoboCop 2. That was what I took of it from the trailer that I saw when it came out.
No, RoboCop 2 follows... It is before Terminator 2. It's 1989, I think. And that comes with... RoboCop gets beaten by... There's a new drug in town called Nuke, and all of the criminals are taking this drug called Nuke, and there's this cult leader, kind of a Charles Manson figure, who's like trying to lead like this new revolution or something like that, and RoboCop has to take him down. But obviously they want a replacement for RoboCop because he's been on the streets, but they need something better now because it's business,
something with a bigger hard drive.
Yeah, so they need something with a bigger RAM, better Wi-Fi,
better graphics card,
Bluetooth connection, and they put him
just let me Bluetooth this picture to you.
But they find that Peter Weller's character, that Murphy, was an odd case, and that police officers are far too vain in generally to have their lives destroyed and put in cyborgs, and all the ones they've tried after RoboCop have ended up killing themselves. So they decide to use a criminal's mind.
Now I know from experience that's probably a bad move.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And they actually feed this on the drug Nuke as well, don't they? Yeah.
To try and keep him in check. But yeah, generally an all-around bad idea, and it ends up kind of like I think somebody described it once as a really, really violent episode of Transformers at the end, with the two robots just fighting and knocking the absolute shit out of each other. Not a bad sequel, though.
You know,
not as terrible as everyone says.
This is the first film that is part of a trilogy where we're really only talking about the first one.
Yeah.
Because what was three?
Three
oh
was
God.
Oh my God! Have you had the pleasure?
No.
I've just heard so much bad about it.
If you can imagine, I'm trying to describe this right. I don't think, in terms of how good the original was. Okay, the second one wasn't as good by any means, but it wasn't a bad film. It was an average film. But like the first is amazing. The second is average. The third is bottom of the X-Rental DTV straight-to-video pile. But it's not even straight-to-video. It actually got in the cinemas. And it came out in the same week as Beverly Hills Cop 3. And I remember me and my mates were just thinking to ourselves, like, which one do we see? They're both going to be shit.
Oh, then they both were.
I think back in the day, you know, when it got to anything with a number 3 on it,
It was just diminishing returns.
Generally, when you get to number 3.
Yeah.
Star Wars Episode 3.
Yeah, but then Return of the Jedi was really good.
Ah, there you go. Well, you know, is that the
sometimes
exception?
They do a yo-yo. Sometimes they keep steady along the way.
Yeah.
But when you have a sequel that Peter Weller won't return for...
Wouldn't he?
No. It's played by someone different in Terminator 3. Not
in
even
Robocop
being well
3.
Robocop 3.
Yeah, that's...
Terminator 3.
That's another example. That's another example, yeah. Yeah, in Robocop 3, but yeah, Peter Weller wouldn't come back for it. That would be the time I'd close shop.
Yeah.
Oh, right, Pete's not signing up. Okay, I'm walking away.
I think that it's the same thing with the new Fast and the Furious film.
None of them are in it. Yeah, Paul.
When Paul Walker won't come back.
When Paul
Walker. Don't make it. Don't make it.
Police Academy 5, when Steve Guttenberg won't come back.
Now, they're remaking, get this, right? They're remaking Police Academy with the original cast.
The original Police Academy film?
With the original cast.
What?
Why?
They're not good.
The first one was good.
Well, right. To be honest,
first one was good.
I've never seen it.
It was a good film for its time. It was a wacky 80s comedy, very much of its time.
Yeah.
But it was a good film, and certainly better than the ones that followed it. They're remaking that. It's out soon.
I've seen 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
I've never
five
seen
was the
one
first
and two.
One I saw.
Hey?
Five
Four
was, the,
was
first.
The first one I saw, the one with Sharon Stone in it.
Is she?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
I think I saw them all in the right order. I think I did. But then again, I probably started when it first came out anyway.
And they all had their moments. I mean, I could watch that guy who does the impressions of sounds all day.
Oh, he's wicked.
Mm.
He's good.
Wicked. There's some great characters in that. All of them are good.
Yeah.
Again, another 7 of them. Especially with such a huge gap between 6 and 7. What's that about?
Yeah.
Seven,
the one where they didn't actually put the number next to it for fear of it seeming a bit odd. So it was just simply Police Academy Mission to Moscow, wasn't it?
And then they did
the Police Academy series after that. That's another thing with RoboCop. Like, RoboCop 3 wasn't bad enough. You had to do
a
really crap TV series.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so...
Just awful.
It was designed for 5-year-olds.
It was.
It was designed for... Well, not 5-year-olds, but, you know, 10-year-olds. It was designed for, like, young children.
Saturday evening TV.
RoboCop isn't for children.
It's not.
18. It's for adults.
Looking at the film, though, today, apart from one or two gruesome moments, that film wasn't an 18.
Well, when it first came out, you have to think about it.
Granted, it got a higher rating because at the time it was quite horrific. But apart from one, in fact, you know,
it was
maybe
in the same sort of vein as like, you know, I said about Die Hard last week when I watched it with my mum when it, you know, did its first pass on TV. Exactly the same with RoboCop, and that scene where Ed 209 freaks out is where she walked out the room.
Well, it's when it's with. The 80s in general, because we had such an era of censorship in the UK.
Yeah, we'd not seen anything like
when Maggie was around. Mm. It was the amount of films that got banned or got censored. And
it
obviously,
was Mary Whitehouse, that campaigning woman.
Yeah.
She had a great deal of influence.
It was the time when it... That sort of, yeah.
The moral majority won over what we were allowed to see.
The so-called moral majority.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Here's the IMDb.
Well, they're not
page.
A majority anymore, I don't think.
No, not anymore.
Police Academy, 2007. Starring Steve Guttenberg, Bubba Smith, all the others.
You heard it here, maybe not first.
Actually coming back. And actually, why would you do that?
Well,
why would you just remake a film with the exact same cast?
Money.
Yeah, but is anyone going to go and see it?
Probably. People are stupid, remember?
Yeah, but Gutenberg needed to come back there, didn't he?
Gutenberg needed to make a comeback sometime.
Gutenberg's been back. He's on the Poseidon Adventure on Sky.
Yeah, but
with Peter Weller.
On the silver screen.
He comes up all over the place now. So he's on 24, along with one of his henchmen
Steve
in
Guttenberg
RoboCop. He's also the vice president.
Oh, Peter Weller is on. Yeah, yeah. One of
I'm on to Peter Weller now.
One of the criminals is in 24 playing the vice president, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And
Nash.
I didn't know at all.
Yeah.
Just
because he's like 20 years younger.
Yeah.
God, this Police Academy film's even being directed by the same guy. He's just redirecting the film again.
That's just like shooting fish in a barrel, surely. That's not.
Why would you do that?
You just need to look at the original.
Right. Remember what you did before? Do it again.
Yeah.
That's a wrap. We can do this in 20 days, hurry up.
Yeah. Well, he also directed Dudley Do-Right, one of the lowest grossing films of all time.
Yeah, excellent.
And one of the biggest losses of all time as well. About 8 people went to see it. Brendan Fraser, his mum, Sarah Jessica Parker, her mum. And then Alfred Molina.
I've never
Molina.
Even fucking heard of this film.
As well.
No, 3.6 out of 10.
Yeah.
3.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Bloody hell.
Try hard to find a film rated lower than that.
I'm sure I probably could, but...
Surely there's a lowest ranking film.
There is a lowest ranking film on there somewhere, but I've never heard of it. So, let's try and stay a little bit on topic then, show.
Well, let's hope they don't remake RoboCop, because for all its tackiness and its Blue Peter-esque models, I don't think I'd like to see it remade.
No, I wouldn't like to see it remade. Well,
It'd be cut to shit, though, you know what I mean?
One of the things is, the primary thing with remaking RoboCop is, as I was talking about with the era of the 80s and the era of censorship, it is, of its time, a very good satire on the 80s yuppie culture.
Definitely.
And the whole in business for yourself sort of backstabbing things. The adverts throughout the film, it cuts to TV adverts before there's news reports, because the news report's kind of updating you on developments in the story as it's going along, as like the narrators of the piece, basically.
Very similar to Starship Troopers.
Yes, which was also directed by Paul Verhoeven. This is something that he does. Total Recall as well, similar sort of things again, basically. Which also starred the guy who plays Dick Jones. We can't remember the name as.
The dad from that 70s show.
The dad from, who's the main bad guy in...
Hauser. No, or is that...
I can't remember. Cohagan.
Cohagan.
Cohagan, you gave those people air.
You got what you want.
Yeah. So, which is, Verhoeven's thing with, unless he's making shit erotic thrillers,
otherwise known as
mild porn, like Basic Instinct or Showgirls or...
Has he done Basic Instinct 2?
No, thank God.
Not even he would touch that one with the barge pole.
Not even he would put that touch.
The things I've heard about Sharon Stone in that movie.
It looks awful. When a film's trailer can't sell it to you, that's really bad.
Yeah.
When the second named actor on the poster is someone you've never heard of.
It's not always bad.
It usually is, though.
Not always.
And it probably is in this case.
Probably in
somebody
this case.
Who has signed up to do Basic Instinct 2.
But
I wouldn't have done that.
I would
movie.
Probably not go off the basis of that. I'd probably go off the basis it was Basic Instinct 2, and Basic Instinct 1 was a bunch of shit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was worth it.
No, it was. It was, though.
When you were young.
Oh, you remembering your first wank?
No. I still haven't done that. No, it was great.
Is it the girls in the club thing?
What?
Is it the girls in the club thing?
The club thing?
The girls in the club in Basic Instinct.
I can't remember that bit.
When they're entrapping him, they're kissing on the dance floor, the two women, and it's clear that they're about to have sex with each other, and he's kind of wanted to watch it.
I'll have to rent it.
Oh no, I've made someone want to watch Basic Instinct again.
I can't remember that bit either, to be honest.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, just rent some porn, for fuck's sake. If that's all you want to see, just get some porn and see it done properly.
Well, it was back at the time when porn wasn't on TV. You couldn't get the porn easily, and you're in middle of puberty.
Let
the only
me
way
make
you can
one
do
thing
it.
Very clear would, to you. You have always been able to get porn very easily.
No, you
haven't. No, you weren't when you were a child.
Unless you worked in a factory shop floor or something like that. like that where everybody passed around one video and who's got it this week? Oh, Pete's got it. You'll have to ask him. Oh, no, Mick's got it this week. No, Dave's got it. And it'd go around the entire shop floor. That's the only sort of access to porn most people have.
Really? That's the thing.
Yeah. Yes.
The pubescent young man today has the entire broadband internet at his disposal to masturbate to his heart's content.
Cheap thrills on TV.
Oh, back to, you had to watch Jamie Lee Curtis's tits in Trading Places. Yeah. You know, you had to look out for these things.
We had to look out for the red triangle in the newspaper that told us that it had explicit scenes in it, which was really handy because you could always just go for them.
That's the one I'm going to watch.
Oh, thanks for telling me there's going to be boobs in it. Watch that.
You just do so much that it's ingrained into your brain forever that even while watching RoboCop this afternoon, when there's a panning shot around the changing room and you get the slightest flash of boob, and I mean it's the slightest flash, a little voice in the back of my head went, "Way!" Don't know where that came from at all.
You're a bloke.
It's just this little suppressed, dead, useless part of personality that you don't use anymore that just occasionally creeps to the surface.
Or she's
that just allows you to notice
things
like
that. You're a trash for a bit of boob.
Eurotrash was excellent.
Yeah, that was a good one, Eurotrash. Yeah.
We had to flick over when your folks were coming in the room.
No, I was watching.
Just in case some big fat German guy was playing Hide the Sausage.
Yeah.
That was the problem with it, that it would be Playboy model for 5 seconds and then we'd go to fat naked German guy
and then, on a tractor,
and then so it's kind of like you're going away and you're doing it to a fat naked German guy who I'm sure have that many qualities but you know, not what I'm looking for.
We're going down a road that I think we should discontinue.
Anyway, so bits of nudity and that kind of language and violence on TV back in the late 80s was something that we weren't used to. It's easy to
something
forget
wasn't
now.
Allowed.
We get saturated with so many images.
I don't know how
see whatever we want, but back then we couldn't.
I don't know how the MPAA works in America in terms of
badly
film
censorship.
And likewise. But generally, the BBFC is a government body. So it all depends on who's in power as to how strict the certification becomes. And since the introduction of the Labour government, it's actually become increasingly difficult to find an 18-rated film these days.
Yeah.
There's like one out of 100 films gets rated 18, where we're back in the 80s, it was something stupid like...
It was most films.
Most films, anything with a nipple in it.
Yeah, and Star Wars is still a U certificate.
Yeah.
I still can't get that over that.
There were random exceptions, like Jaws was a PG for the longest time, and that was far more gory than so many 15s or 18s you saw.
You see, looking at this, the body count of RoboCop was 30, right? Now, how many people die in Star Wars in the first film? How many people do we see shot dead?
Yeah.
How much blood do you see oozing out of those bodies?
You can't really go
and
off.
That's why it's okay, because there's no blood. But, you know, come on.
You can't go off body count, otherwise, like Superman, an entire planet of people get blown up in the first 10 minutes. I mean,
do you count the most violent film ever? As body count?
Because
we don't see everybody die.
It depends. If they tell you how many people died. You know, technically you are seeing them all die when the planet explodes. But
they're just very tiny.
They're very small.